Isaiah chapter 35. I have to admit, as we get ready today and it's snowing outside and so many people have, for various reasons, can't be here as well as the weather, sometimes I wonder, because I've been looking forward to this sermon of all the Advent passages, because this is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. It's a beautiful poem about hope and about something to look forward to. And it's a beautiful poem that in Isaiah's vision, he sees through God's eyes, he sees what it will be like one day. I wish everybody could be here to hear that. Now, I know we get to record these and put them online, so we can always encourage people to go out. This may just be my favorite sermon because it's for me, but it is it's one that I'm looking forward to sharing. Isaiah chapter 35, starting in verse 1. The desert and the parched land will be glad, and the wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom, and it will rejoice greatly at the and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, and the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord and the splendor of our God. Strengthen feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth from the wilderness and the streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool and the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It'll be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will not be for those who walk in the way. The wicked fools that will not go about it. No lion will be there. Nor will there be ferocious beasts get upon it. They will not be found there. Only the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion singing with everlasting joy, with crowns on their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. This passage is in part special as we read it, because we realize at the moment Jesus begins his earthly ministry, this is the passage that he cites. He quotes from this passage in Isaiah, "Behold that the deaf hear and the lame will walk." Jesus himself looked upon this passage as one that foretold the work that he would do. As we set and begin to enter into the season of Advent, and as we get close to the birth of Jesus, this passage is ever before me. It is the passage that promises us hope. There are four proclamations that come out of this passage. First of all, nature proclaims the hope. It is in this passage that our eyes see the glory of the Lord and the redemption that will come. All of creation, all of nature, will no longer be dimmed by smog, but instead, in perfect beauty, nature itself will display the hope of God. The deserts that used to be parched will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and bloom. I would imagine that like anyone else, in Isaiah's vision, this will be a moment when all of humanity will stop and gaze. Multiple times we've been out on the road after a thunderstorm and you will see the rainbow that will pop out. A couple times we've been in those spaces where the horizon was flat and there were few trees and the rainbow went from horizon to horizon. Don't really see it that much very often that it's the full rainbow from horizon to horizon. And I remember one time we were out driving and there was this full rainbow from horizon to horizon and people were pulling off on the road to get out and look and pull their cell phones out and take pictures. And I'm thinking that is what's happening here in Isaiah's vision. That creation has become so stunningly beautiful and alarming and shocking that after the midst of a drought, after the midst of times and seasons where nature isn't flowering, that all of a sudden nature is blooming with beauty and everybody stops to look. The hope that comes in Advent is that very hope. And in fact, Christ himself is that hope. Christ is the one blooming in the desert, in Earth's smallest town, as Calvin Miller says in his poem about Jesus. In Earth's smallest town, in the most insignificant clan, was born to us the Savior. And what happened? The angels, the kings, and the shepherds stopped to look. Of all the things that happened, the most beautiful moment of blooming of life in all of creation was the birth of this child. The passage continues, and it's not just that nature will proclaim everything that is good about the season of God's redemption, but people will proclaim. For those who sit exhausted, hands on their knees, their physical structure is about to buckle under being weary. The strength in those feeble hands and the steadiness of the knees that give way. There's no more fear, but instead there's strength. This is, by and large, about us. This is not a disability that causes our knees to weaken or our hands to grow weak. It is, in fact, that we who are laboring through the difficulty of life will find restoration. We will be strengthened. We will find hope. Isaiah here is not imagining those who are wounded, but he is instead imagining those who are exhausted, who have lost hope in the face of the unrelenting difficulties that come in life. For those who have been traumatized, for those who have suffered, for those who are discouraged, for those who wither. Isaiah's vision is for those, that they will in fact be strengthened, as he says, and that God will be the God who rescues them. Perhaps the reason my hands get so weak is because I tend to do a lot of things and think I have to rescue myself. I tend to get weak in the knees because I have to figure it out myself. I grow tired and weary because I am the one who needs to be the hero of my own story. And in fact, what God is saying is that I am here to rescue you. I will be your strength. I will restore your weakness. That run counterintuitive to our American way of doing things. We are a self-reliant people. I'd guess maybe it's just the human condition itself. That there's this part of us that thinks we can figure it out alone. when in fact God is saying, I'm here to rescue you. Give yourself to me. Nature proclaims the glory of God at the birth of Christ. People proclaim the glory of God at the birth of Christ. But even the broken will proclaim the glory of God at the birth of Christ. Isaiah's next portion of this vision is when the eyes of the blind are open. And in fact, this is what Jesus quotes. When the eyes of the blind are open and the ears of the deaf are unstopped, the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute, their tongue will shout for joy. The vision here is in fact not just people who are tired, but in fact those who are broken. Those who receive the marks of brokenness in their lives. These are the ones who are so deeply wounded that hope is all gone. These are the ones who are so deeply broken that they cannot see. They can't see a life other than what they are suffering through. These are the ones who expect that all of eternity will be about brokenness. They are the traumatized, the abused, the neglected, the forgotten. They are the ones who are alone, the ones who have been harmed. They are the ones who are physically blind and deaf, who physically bear the weakness of a broken creation. And yet, don't we hear in the stories that we hear in this house itself, that the call of God is no matter how broken a little one is laying in a hospital bed, that they can have life when they are loved. They can have life when they receive the gift of human touch. That their bodies can be restored and they can begin to strengthen, and while life still will not be perfect, that brokenness can come, bits of restoration and hope. We hear those stories right here in this very house. The broken even proclaim the hope of God. But finally, it is the redeemed who proclaim that hope. They themselves are the ones on the highway, walking in the way of holiness. They are the ones who together have left the world of doubt and chosen the pathway of hope. This isn't a super highway like we think of the modern highways, littered with trash, full of bustling people who are cutting you off, full of people who are impatiently trying to get to the next place. That's not the kind of highway that God is bringing to mind. But instead, he is bringing to mind a wide road filled with people going in a direction where they can go together safely. A place where animals don't come onto this trail because there are too many people. It's not they don't feel safe there. And where we journey together in the same path. It's a place to travel with friends. It's a place to have a conversation along the way. It's a place where when one gets tired, another can help carry their load. It is a shared space. This is the highway that God is talking about. And in fact, it's less about a physical road. It's more about those that are journeying together. Because every one of us who are redeemed understands the loads that sometimes weigh each one of us down, and how important it is, even in the times that we spend together in prayer, to share those loads with one another, to bear up one another's burdens. This is not only a future event. I want you to hear this. Isaiah was looking forward to a moment in which this would begin. Jesus stood up in the midst of the synagogue and said, "That moment has arrived." Now, you and I know that today, earth does not bloom like paradise. And you and I know today that our hands still get weak and our knees buckle under the strain of life. You and I know today that there is brokenness that is beyond our comprehension and that there are wounds that are still going on outside of the walls of this place. Wounds that deeply scar others. How many of the people in this room work with those who have those wounds? We know that it hasn't happened yet, but in theology we call this moment the prolepsis. It is the moment in which Christ started something that is both now and future. Christ started something at his birth that was the beginning of something that would be eternal, but he brought it here now. He left that sacred space. He came into earth as a tiny child. Innocent. And he brings to us the hope of Isaiah today. My prayer for us is that we can receive that hope. And in this season of Advent, that we can know that Isaiah's vision has begun. And that together we can all proclaim the hope of God.